time you put that on, it's party time. I don't care where you're at. You can be on a cruise ship. You can be in somebody's game room downstairs, deep in the bowels of somebody's house. You can be out on a picnic. You can be anywhere. But when that dog talk comes on, you want to get up and shake your money maker. Hey, we're back. It's Soul Take Champions Live. Bill Neal, Kevin Cameron coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, you need to know that this is new and improved. And we're co-sponsored by the new Pittsburgh Courier. Now, the important thing about you knowing that, especially you people out in Iowa and Texas and all them other places, this is the oldest black publication in America, and I am privileged to write for the new Pittsburgh Courier. So you can pick up a Courier online, and or you can track a Courier online and go to Overtime by yours truly, Bill Neal, and the new Pittsburgh Courier co-sponsors this show, Soul Take Champions Live, and Kevin Cameron's going to tell you how to find it.
Soul Take Champions Live, again, we come to you every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and you could catch us on UrbanMediaToday.com. Did I get that right, Trev? UrbanMediaToday.com. And you can also connect with us on Twitter at Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports.
And everybody needs to start tuning in because this is the hottest show in Western Pennsylvania.
Guess who wrote for the Pittsburgh Courier in the mid-60s?
Would it be you? I'm not surprised. Hey, Jim O'Brien, nothing you tell me was surprised.
I wrote for everybody.
Well, that's
the hustled.
You had an equal opportunity.
Well-versed, Jim.
I hustled.
Equal opportunity.
Did you ever hear of Nate Available Smith?
I have, but we're not going down that path either.
But I'm Jim Available O'Brien.
I could see you and Nate Smith having a beer or two, I can tell you that.
Kevin, did you ever hear of Nate Available Smith?
I haven't.
He was a union leader in Pittsburgh, but he was also an amateur and then became a pro boxer.
Well, I heard of him.
He would come to fights. He wasn't on the card.
Not with that nickname, though, Jim.
Oh, yes, Available Smith.
You threw me off with the nickname.
You know why he was called Available Smith? He would come to fight shows in Pittsburgh with a gym bag, with his jock, with his protector, with his trunks, with his boots, with his laces, with a towel. And he would fight if somebody didn't show up in any weight division to get that paycheck. And you got to admire a man like that.
He was a great guy. He was a great guy. Great friend. Great guy. Kev, you've been hard on the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think it's a well-known fact now that you've
been deserved.
You've been hard on them from the very beginning. I've maintained that they would win 80 games. And I've obviously preached no pitching, no peace, so there's no World Series in sight. But I think at the very least, they've been somewhat entertaining to this point. And I agree with you that we're being sold a bill of goods, and it's year in and year out. They want to give us enough hot wings and hoagies and what's it, pierogies and all that stuff to keep us happy at the game.
Well, I hate references to pierogies.
It's just a fun place to be, and it is what it is. But you certainly have a different opinion. So let's talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates and Major League Baseball and what you got to say.
Well, but again, and we'll talk about the controversial play that happened on Monday night as well. But from a Pirate perspective, now they're really starting to play some true competitors, more especially in the division. So right now they're playing the Chicago Cubs. And right now, as of Tuesday night, going into Wednesday, they're 28-25. They might be 28-26 before that game occurs. And I see that they just released the right-handed pitcher, George Contos, as well. So that's a big move. And brought up Austin Meadows to play in the outfield as well. And he's been tearing it up, Bill.
And
however,
so much so they can't send him back.
Right. And you have Polanco that continues to struggle with the bat. And you also have Harrison. I believe that he's back as well. And he really got off to a good start when he came back. But the pitching, okay, the pitching is still in disarray. You know, they have five pitchers, all right-handed pitchers, if I'm not mistaken, as well. And they just brought up Joe Musgrove, and he was part of the trade with Houston as well. So it's good to see that he's finally on board. And his first start, he pitched seven innings, and gave up no runs. And that's really promising to see. But still, when you take a look at who they have in their division with Milwaukee and Chicago and St. Louis, I just think that, you know, those teams are just much better than the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I said that from the beginning.
Two questions for you. And you can jump in, Jim. Two questions for you, Kevin. What's it going to take for you to become a Pirate believer? What do they have to do? I mean, that's probably a longer answer than short. But what do they have to do to you and others like you to get you to become true Pirate believers?
I said this many times. Sell the team.
That's what it takes for you?
It's just that simple.
There's number of trades or purchases that they can do to make you happy.
Well, they refuse to do it. They're the 27th ranked team when it comes to salaries in Major League Baseball from a salary standpoint. Okay, there's 30 Major League Baseball teams, and they're 27 as far as their salary.
So we should not be expected to win based on that.
Exactly. Mm. And it happens. And again, I've said they receive the luxury tax. They don't do anything with the luxury tax. So for whatever reason, they do not know how to properly invest in the team. I have total confidence with the general manager and the Hurdle. I think they're great people, but you can only do as much what you're given to utilize from a resource standpoint. So I'll never believe in the Pirates if they have this ownership. That's basically what it comes down to.
So my second question is, then you don't believe that the ownership is really trying to win a World Series.
Right. But if you ask me what I would do if I had the opportunity.
I didn't, but go ahead and tell us.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, I mean, it comes down to pitching. Like I said, we get rid of Gerrit Cole. He was the ace for the team, and he went to Houston, and he's fourth in their rotation, but he's tearing it up as well. So it really starts with pitching. You have to invest in quality starters and quality bullpen help. Vasquez, which is the closer now, the last three games, he was terrible. And this is what baseball does to you. Again, it's a marathon, 162 games. You could get away with having, you know, a good month or a good month and a half, but eventually who you are will show up. And I think that's what's happening with the Pirates right now. But you have to invest in the pitching. From a position player standpoint, they have a lot of good position players. Polanco, he's just too inconsistent. Even though Bell isn't doing much right now as well, I do believe in Josh Bell. And Harrison has always been there. And Marte, if he could stay on the field, and as I said before, what Bill Parcells said many times, you know, the biggest attribute a player could have is his availability. So his biggest ability is his availability, I believe, is what Bill Parcells said. So Marte, he has to stay on the field.
Well, Jim, you've been behind a few closed doors, I'm sure, in your time. And I'm sure you've heard more than a few whispers of this, that, and the other. So let me throw two questions at you. Were they ever close to Mark Cuban buying this team? And what do you see in the future of the Pirates?
First of all, I don't know why people in Pittsburgh perceive Mark Cuban to be the potential savior of the Pittsburgh Pirates, because there's a man who's not particularly stable. You know, he couldn't make the basketball team at Mount Lebanon High School, so they said what he did was he went out and bought a team so he'd have his basketball team. So I don't see him as being the owner. One of the problems we've had in Pittsburgh, and it's why we don't have a pro basketball team, is we've never had anybody with the financial resources to start a pro basketball team. David Stern wanted to bring a team here. As far as the Pirates are concerned, I like Clint Hurdle, but how in the world can you bench Meadows when he's the hottest hitter in baseball and put Polanco in when he's the coldest hitter? I don't understand that. That play at the home plate, we watched it. I'm thinking, why are they taking so long to determine whether this was legal or illegal. And first of all, I think the whole system of having people in New York make the decision rather than the umpires at the game about whether the guy was, he went out of his way to take out the catcher. It didn't require somebody with Einstein's brain to recognize that. Yet they made the wrong call. And then worse yet, they next day they said they were wrong, which doesn't accomplish anything. But here's the thing, Kevin. The other night, I recorded the Pirates game because I had to go somewhere and I wanted to watch it when I came home. My wife comes and says to me, I don't think you're going to want to watch the game. I find out, what was it, 7-0?
Yep.
It was pretty bad.
7-0.
7-0.
I watched the game. I watched the
just
game.
Just to be informed, right?
Well, I always tell people that leave when the team's losing, especially in football, when they leave in the fourth quarter, you might see something that you'll never, ever see again in sports. I don't understand, and Bill knows this is true. For instance, pro football scouts always leave the press box at the end of the third quarter. Why do they do it? They do it to beat traffic. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason they do it. What if some under-the-radar player does something in the fourth quarter that you haven't seen before or you didn't recognize, hey, this guy might be a potential prospect for us? I look upon the Pirates as entertaining. I don't watch the Penguins all year long. I don't get it. But I do watch the playoffs because when they're really playing hard, I like to watch the games. And it's gotten to the point where I feel the same way about the NBA. I want to watch the playoffs because they're playing serious basketball. I never had the feeling that the Houston Rockets were even in that game the other night, the seventh game. I just felt like there was
no. The first quarter, they gave me a little bit of a concern. But they looked very confident that first quarter. They had the lead, and Golden State had a few turnovers. And as a Golden State fan, I was a little concerned in that first quarter. But in that third quarter, you could see, you know, we were talking. We had some guys here from Aliquippa last week, the new coaching staff for the Aliquippa football team, and we were kind of talking about how, and everybody, we've all been in games of some sort when you see the incoming and there's right. nothing you can do about it, even though your competitive spirit makes you play and keeps you in the game. But way in the back of your mind, you're saying, there's nothing
over.
We can do. We can't stop. When a 7-foot cat takes the ball the full length of the floor, crosses over at the top of the key, and then reverses the layup, you're in a world of trouble. Bob McAdoo would be envious of Durant.
Another great player.
He's a special human being. And then he pulls up and hits a jumper from 33 feet like there's nothing to it.
Well, he and Kevin Durant and their ability to hit the long-range shot is uncanny.
Well, let's go back to finish this part of the conversation, because I was wanting to try to get you to say that you may know more about something that we know. Are the Pirates, I'll say it the way I want to say it, but you can answer it the way you want. Are the Pirates serious about ever putting a World Series team on the floor or on the field, or are they just, you know, making their money? Now, that's just me asking the question. You don't have to answer.
I think they'd like to win. I just don't know that they know how to win. One of the things that amuses me is that
less money at Seven Springs and more money in a pitcher. That's how you win.
The daily newspapers are always telling the Steelers what to do. They're always telling the Pirates what to do. And they're always telling the Penguins what to do. And they don't know how to run their own business. They're going out of business. So, go ahead.
Here's the deal, Jim. What you just said is like me saying, I have $50 in my pocket, but I want a BMW. Okay, that's the Pirates mentality. Okay, we can say we want to win every day, but saying you want to win and doing what it takes to win are two different things. Well, and that's where I have a problem with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Here's another side to
something. Well, they got more than $50 in their pocket, though.
Here's something you just said a little while ago. Last week, I hosted a luncheon where Jim Leland was there. And Lanny Frateri was there. No, Lanny Frateri got worn down by 20 years of losing baseball. Jim Leland made this comment to me. And it bears a it's a good analogy, I think. He said people have to keep in mind, he claims that at the outset of this season, he liked the new Pirates. He liked the lineup. That's what he said.
Jim Leland said this.
And he goes to a lot of the games and so forth, and he still works for the Detroit Tigers. But Leland said that there was no way the Pittsburgh Pirates were going to be able to re-sign Gerrit Cole, that he was gone. And he said that we could end up, they could have ended up leaving and them getting nothing for him the way we lost Barry Bonds. Then he said that McCutchen in his mind was on the downward slope as far as his ability to play, that he wasn't going to continue to play at the pace that he had played. I think and he also said something. He said 2 years ago, a lot of Pirates fans wanted him to get rid of McCutchen, and now they're complaining that they did get rid of McCutchen.
That's true.
So that there's some truth to that. And he liked some of these new young ball players that the Pirates had signed. I think that you mentioned, I think the general manager and the president of the team and so forth, I think they operate under restrictions as far as payroll is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see what the Yankees are still able to do, but the Yankees, the teams that put out the most money don't always win either. So it makes you wonder, what's the happy balance? And I think the happy balance is knowing talent, recognizing talent, and being able to coach talent. And the thing about it is, I've always believed this, and Red Auerbach said this was true, it's not easy to manage or coach great talent, because great players want to do it by themselves, they want to do it on their own, and they really don't want to listen. I was interested the other night, not so much in the play at the plate, I wanted to know why the third base coach and Freeze were arguing in the dugout when the game was over. Did you see that?
No, Freeze, you know.
I wonder what that was all about.
He was probably right. So I'm glad to hear that. Someone needs to get mad.
Well, so, and to your point, too, about coaching, I know because I've coached many a great, and I mean a great summer league teams in summer league basketball. And that being a step down from the top of the chart, still great basketball. It's hard to corral and manage and coach a lot of talent. So when they talk about when they talk about Phil Jackson and they say, well, anybody could have coached the Bulls, it's not true. You have to be a variety of different things as a coach to coach great talent.
Yeah, the only thing I have against Phil Jackson, and I liked him, he was as smart as Bill Bradley when I covered the Knicks, but he didn't get credit for it because he was something of a hippie type.
Yeah.
But I blame him for the fact that we now have in grade school, high school, college, and pro, 6 suits on every bench when you only need one head coach and one assistant coach. On every level. You didn't know this. I'm undefeated as a basketball coach. I think they make it too difficult, the systems and everything else. Tell you what I did, Kevin. Bill Hillgrove and I were supposed to be the coaches of the Pitt alumni against the Duquesne alumni. But we really weren't coaching because Hillgrove didn't feel like we were just there, honorary coaches. But Hillgrove had to leave about halfway through the second half. And the other team was being coached by the late Phil Axelrod, one of my competitors in the business. But we were friends, but we were competitors. He's coaching Duquesne. I didn't want to lose to Phil Axelrod. And here's what I did. We had 6 players. I benched Terry Knight. He was not Billy Knight. It was his kid brother. With the other 5, I told Tommy Richards, don't shoot any more 3-pointers. Don't shoot 3-pointers, which someone should have told Harden late in the game. Simple enough.
Isolation basketball.
Don't shoot it. Told Melvin Bennett, you're our rebounder. You're our designated. And so what I did was I gave each player a specific responsibility to do in the last 4 minutes of the game. And then, much to my surprise, They were actually looking at me for direction on the sideline, and we won. The next day, I called Red Holzman, the coach of the Knicks, and I said, Red, all that stuff you told me works. And it was this.
Uh-huh.
How often do you see players that don't pass with a purpose? They're backing up. They're backing up. They're not giving the ball to somebody when they can do something with it. How many do you see set picks? They had a basketball player at Pitt 2 years ago that I thought could have been useful to them and helped them, and that was the Knicks player. He automatically set picks. He automatically had an instinct to do the right thing. When Pitt had Stallings coaching, that was a bad hire from day one. I'm a Pitt basketball fan. Bad hire. Had no business being hired. And why they got themselves into a situation where they had to pay him $9 million in order to get rid of him whenever he was already on the way out the door at Vanderbilt. And I like the hire of Jeff
Capel.
He knows how to win in the ACC. He's going to find it's not as easy to recruit for Pitt as it is for Duke. Because
sure.
Duke and North Carolina and even NC State, they have the legacy of established basketball programs in the ACC.
Yeah, but my contention is everybody can't play at Duke. Everybody can't play at North Carolina. And if you get the tail end of some of these top 50, top 100 players, it's going to put Pitt in a better position than they've been in.
And I think they will be.
Yeah, so I think they will be.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. Now,
You're lost for words.
No, I'm because I'm forced to agree with Kevin. And that's why I was stumbling.
Man, he's got a smile on his face right now.
It's hard for me. I just love it. I, you know.
He looks like the cat that swallowed.
Yeah, because the Pirates are not trying to win a World Series. They're not putting their money where their mouth is. They have all these other businesses, newspapers and resorts. And I don't know that he talk about simplicity as a coach or an owner. I don't know if it gets any simpler. Go out and buy pitchers that can pitch. They bring pitchers in here with ERAs of 7.2. I mean, for goodness sakes, it doesn't get any easier. When you go to spring training, take three guys with you that could be an ace anywhere else. Take two guys that can close everything in sight and come on home.
How often do you watch the Pirates games and you know the pitcher's done? He's got to be pulled right then and there. He's got to be pulled.
And
they always wait until he gives up another home run or another double or something like that. And you instinctively know it's time. Pull him out of there.
We need, I think we all know this. Defense can win games. You can have some hitters that can carry you. But if you don't have pitching, you're just not going to win at all. And I'm forced to agree with Kevin. But as I've also said publicly, the best thing about PNC Park are the hot wings, so I don't care what they do.
And let me ask both of you a question. Who's the Pirates' home run hitter?
Right now.
Who's the power in that lineup?
They don't have one.
Thank you. And it's been that way for how long?
And Polanco's leading the team in home runs, isn't he? I think he has nine.
I will have to look it up.
Which of the players on the Cubs has 20-some home runs already? There's one, his name's... slips me.
No, I'm forced.
Rizzo's a good home run hitter.
I'm forced to.
We don't have anybody like Rizzo. That's for sure.
You do want to close out your thoughts on the slide, Kevin. So you want to.
I do. So you had Anthony Rizzo, controversial slide into the Pirates catcher, Elias Diaz. And as you mentioned earlier, Jim, I mean, he clearly went out of his way to make sure that he slid into Elias Diaz. It was clear when you take a look at the video, and they actually went to New York.
You knew right away.
For the call also. I mean, I always tell Bill, I'm a baseball purist is what I consider myself. I'm the traditional old school baseball.
Well, if you're a traditional, you must go crazy watching the Pirates play because they don't know how
to
play.
Exactly right,
Nova, when the ball player was in the path of him being able to throw to first base.
Yes,
I would bet, and I bet nobody asked the question. I'll bet Nova doesn't know that if he had thrown the ball in his back, that he'd have been out.
Mm-hmm.
And Polanco, And Marte, when they're running the bases, like they have a thing on their promotion about the kids running the bases on Sunday, and they say, right. like Marte. And I said, you don't want those kids running the bases like Marte. He doesn't know where to go.
Well, so didn't they learn back to the
didn't
slide.
Didn't they learn any of that stuff in Little League? I mean, isn't it embedded?
Yeah, it is. But yeah. back to the slide. And when I say I'm a, you know, traditionalist when it comes to baseball, I don't agree with the rule. I think you have to break up the double play. I mean, that's how baseball is played. You know, it's been played that way for years. So
if you don't want to get hurt, get out the way.
I mean, you have to recognize that they're going to try to take my legs from me, so I won't be able to make the throw. So, but when you change the rule, and they did change the rule to protect the catcher, it was the wrong call that they made by calling him safe. It should have been an out because he broke the rule.
Exactly.
Well, I think this effort to keep up with the Joneses or the modern trend or the smartphones or the millennials and all those things continue to shortchange the pureness of the game as we've grown up with it. Or maybe we're just old, Jim. Maybe that's what
Kevin,
it is.
Do you care how much the ball breaks or whether it was a two-seamer or a four-seamer? Seriously, do you care?
I don't care what is thrown. I care from the batter. That I would be able to hit it.
Have you ever heard anybody in a bar refer to an inning as a frame?
No.
Have you ever heard anybody in a bar call the Miami Marlins the fish?
I have.
You have?
I have.
Where the hell do you hang out?
I've heard that too.
Yeah, yeah. And Mike Trout leads the Major League Baseball with 18 home runs. And then you have Betts from Boston as well. He has 17.
Well,
and Martinez from Boston. So Boston actually has two with 17.
Look, yeah. O'Brien's looking at his watch, so I know it's getting close to bedtime for him. He is 75. He made reference to that several times. But we're going to squeeze in one more segment with you. We get 10 more minutes out of you because we got to get into the nuts and bolts of this NFL thing. And we come back after this break. If you got to dash out of here, we want to get your comments first on how you feel about the new NFL rule.
I have to
rule.
Take my wife out to dinner tonight. You know where I took her for lunch today?
Okay, man, hold that
Walmart.
Thought. I tried to get you to hold that thought. So we're going to let you get out of here, but we'll be right back in just one moment.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.